Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you. We are back in Studio A here at Focus on the Family, which, you know, we were kicked out of a long time ago so that Jim Daly could record his daily Focus broadcast, whatever that is, whatever, but that's okay. Great show for you this week. Later on, I'm going to be back. I know you're all thrilled about that. I'm going to be back to answer our inbox question, which basically relates to, throws out James 4:4 and says, here it says we're not supposed to love the world, so why should we be hanging out with non-Christians? So I'm going to kind of parse that out and pull out my commentaries and give you some insight there. And then our culture segment, Aaron Stern, you know you've met him before here on the show, formerly of The Mill at New Life Church, has now planted a church up in northern Colorado, and he's going to share his experience with us and give us a vision for what God has told him to do up there. And now for our roundtable segment, I have two new Boundless guests, new friends to the Boundless table here with me today. Two humans and then one not so human, actually. Yeah. So we will, and here he is. He's poked up, in front of the mic. I have Dean Ridings with me. Dean, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Very pleased to have you. Dean is a local yokel here in Colorado Springs, as is Amy Tracy. Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
Very glad to have both of you here, and also need to say hello to Rex. Rex, hello.
Speak.
All right.
Rex is spelled, just so you know, it's not R-E-X, it's W-R-E-C-K-S, like train wrecks.
Because he's a believer and has an understanding of his own depravity.
Right.
And just what God has done in his life.
Yeah. And good. Dogs do go to heaven, by the way.
Wow, that's a whole other roundtable altogether. We're going to have to pull Amy back for that one for a theological breakdown of it. But look at him. He's just like slumped over the chair. Bless his heart.
He's got a big smile, doesn't he?
He does. He's kind of smiling. That's good. Well, you may be wondering what in the world we could be talking about that would involve a dog being in the studio. And this is kind of an idea I shot by Martha months ago. And really, I don't even know what the context was, but I was basically saying, I think it was after hearing Dean, a couple things. I've known Amy for a while in her context here. She works in our media relations area here at Focus on the Family. And Dean, of course, you're basically in charge of like everything that goes on our main Focus website. That's how I describe it to people. He's like our content guru for manipulating content, garnering content, making sure that we are really addressing the needs of marriage and parenting stuff. But you guys do stuff apart from that, and that's what I think is so cool. Mm. And I told Martha, I said, I want to do a show on people who just have cool ministries. And, you know, sometimes we think of ministry, and we sit here at Focus, and it's just our full-time job. But people who are doing stuff apart from that, that is just cool, that's using stuff that they are passionate about, and that really is making a difference in the lives of people. And so I want to kind of kick it off just by having you each introduce what it is that you do, and then we'll kind of go from there. So Dean, why don't you start?
Well, great. Thanks, Lisa. I'm involved in lots of little ministries here and there, but one I'm pretty excited about, I started about a year ago, is a Facebook page that really is designed to help people pray every day. It's called Pray Every Day. Mm-hmm. And we have about 20,000 people from around the world. Pretty excited about that. People from places I hope to visit someday, may never get to, but they're on the site and they're praying with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a super dumb question.
That's okay.
Why do you care about prayer? I mean, because there are all kinds of Facebook pages that you could have started. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where we're all like, oh, we know we should pray, but do we really get excited about it? Why are you jazzed about it?
Well, I think that, you know, Lisa, that's exactly it. I think we know where to pray. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we haven't really sat down in a prayer seminar, or if you call a church meeting and say, hey, we're all going to pray, or we're going to learn about prayer. How many people really are going to show up?
Mm-hmm. And it's one of my pet peeves, actually, at the church.
You know,
people don't show up for prayer.
A few years back, I was, you know, why I really care about prayer, have a passion for it, is that I was finding that I wasn't being victorious in every aspect of my life. And I was really struggling because I'd been a Christian for so many years. And it's like, well, why am I struggling with even some basic things? And as I prayed about it, the Lord said, you aren't praying. You're not connecting with me. You're not tapping into the spiritual power of the connection of, you know, being in fellowship with the living God. And also he pointed my attention to Ephesians chapter 6 and said, and you need to pray on the armor of God. And so that led me into a personal study. What is the armor of God? I kind of wrote out a prayer that became kind of a pattern prayer for me to pray. And I committed to God, I'm going to pray this every day. I started sharing it with some friends. And they started to experience the victory that I was experiencing just by having more of a vital prayer life than I have ever had before. And it led me to actually produce a prayer journal with Nav Press. And that had been out for a few years. And, you know, you talked about my work here on the Focus on the Family website. And I thought, you know, with the advent of social media, you know, what's that all about? And how can God use my passion and the victory that I'm discovering and helping some of my friends discover in this prayer journal? How could God use all that in some kind of a social media presence? And really, that is how Pray Every Day came about.
And it's cool. I do have a copy of the prayer journal here. It is called the Pray Prayer Journal, Daily Steps Toward Praying God's Heart. And it looks pretty comprehensive. So it's cool that you have the physical journal, because a lot of people get way into that. But then you now are utilizing social media and capitalizing on that to really make this happen. And I mean, 20,000 likes, 20,000 participants in this, that's something that people like buy Facebook ads and get all crazy to accomplish. But, you know, it's cool to see the solidarity out there and see that people really want to get on board with this. That's awesome. Amy, tell us a little bit about what you are up to and how you got into it.
Well, I have been at Focus about 10 years, and I took 4 years off to work in urban ministry in Chicago. And it was direct ministry with male street prostitutes. And I got so jazzed by that. When I had the opportunity to come back to Focus, I did, and I was excited to be back, but I missed that direct ministry. And so just looking for a way, I read a book by an author called John Katz called Izzy and Lenore. And it was about him and his dog, Lenore, who did pet therapy in hospice. And I thought, wow, you know, I could do that. I have a dog that has a great temperament, who's obedient. You know, what's the process? And so I went, we got our Canine Good Citizen Award. We went through Therapy Dogs Incorporated. And we began our ministry about a year and a half ago. We work at Memorial Hospital here in Colorado Springs, Memorial Children's Hospital. We work in oncology. We work in rehabilitation and the emergency room. And Rex basically just visits the patients with kids who are getting shots or other kinds of procedures. They get to hold him, and it completely takes the sting and the scariness out of it. For people who are going through cancer treatments or who are in the hospital for really scary things, he gets in bed with them. He snuggles. If they're on pain medication, he falls asleep with them in bed. It's just a great ministry. The other thing we do is Pikes Peak Hospice as well. And it's the same kind of thing where he just brings joy and comfort and just a sense of normalcy to the process. So that's one thing, and that's Rex. But what it has afforded me the opportunity to do is to be able to share Jesus with people. If you're walking down the street with your dog, people stop you. They want to talk about their dog. They want to chit-chat. And if you're walking down the street alone, those people are going to pass. When I go into a hospital room with Rex, everybody wants to talk about their pet. Everybody wants to talk about their lives, and that inevitably leads into spiritual conversations. Mm-hmm. So I've had the opportunity every single week to talk to people who either don't understand Christianity, who have fallen away years ago, who you know, who just have never known him, and to be able to explain the Christian faith, to encourage, especially people at the end of their lives who are facing death. I mean, huge spiritual needs there, and to be able to come alongside them and reassure them that heaven is real, that trusting Jesus is, you know, something that can, you know, make that a realization that they can find peace at the end of the at their lives. They can find hope. And it brings people so much encouragement and life. Mm. And it's a privilege and a gift to be able to engage in that.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. We do it twice a week, once at Memorial Hospital and once at Pikes Peak Hospice.
That's cool. So what I want to know from you guys, I mean, because you guys, you know, here we've already talked about this. You have full-time jobs, you have lives, you have to maintain homes. It's not like, you know, you're just sitting around waiting for things to do. How did you get a vision for this and know, at what point did you know that you could turn this into reality and really make this a part of your life where you could give time to it?
Well, I think for me, it energizes me. Direct ministry just energizes me. I love my work here at Focus, but to be able to touch people where they're at and get involved in the messiness of their lives, even if it's just briefly, energizes me. And I think it adds a dimension to my work at Focus of compassion, of perspective. I'm a writer here, so I'm able to bring my ministry that I do outside of Focus into my writing here. And I don't know, it's just a cool thing.
It's awesome.
Well, for me, it's like with you, Amy. I just get impassioned about it. If I'm in the scriptures, you know, which I am every day, want to be in God's word every day, I bump into these scriptures and I just want to pray them. And then I write out a prayer and it becomes a Facebook post. And I'm reading a book, an inspirational book right now. You know, I'm behind the curve on this one, reading Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, finally. But, you know, all throughout it is scriptures, inspirations, and it prompts me to just write some notes that can become these Facebook updates and then encourage people. You know, I don't know where these people are who are tapping into this, but it's fun to see some of their responses. Like just this morning, you know, this hits me right where I'm at. Cool. That's a God thing. But anyway, where do I get the passion, excitement? It's just out of everyday life. I've been able to put some content up on the Folks on the Family Facebook page on how to pray every day. And so that's been an encouragement too.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the impact of what you guys have done, because you've been, again, how long have you been doing this, Dean?
It's only a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a year. I mean, and again, 20,000, you know, there on the page within a year. And Amy, you said obviously you were in Chicago, had very direct ministry there, and now you've been back doing this how long?
About a year.
Okay. It's also about a year.
Yeah.
Oh, see, people's lives are better now because you guys have been doing this for a year, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I wish there were more Christians involved in hospice ministry in particular, but hospital ministry, I feel like sometimes I'm the only one walking down the hallway, and there's just incredible need. One story was just from this week. There was a woman named Betty in Pikes Peak Hospice, Christian author, ministry for years, loved the Lord. But she hadn't been involved in church for 7 years. And now she had bone cancer and it had gone into her brain and she had just lost her eye that week. And there she was alone. And I was able to come in and read her Psalms and pray with her. I came back the next day with a large print Bible and just let her cry and prayed with her. And I thought, you know, no one should have to die alone. And I also thought, if you're not involved in a church family, it's one reason, you know, to sink deeply into fellowship.
Yeah. So you don't have, when you're walking the halls of the hospitals, I mean, if you are able to introduce faith into the conversation, you find that people are receptive?
I have become an expert at the discovery, the prodding. You know, I pray before I go into the room. I pray silently if people are not open to the gospel. But I just start out. I start out asking them about their own pets, their home life. I ask them, you know, do you have a faith community that you're a part of? And it opens up the floodgates because people are in really vulnerable positions, whether they're in the hospital, but especially hospice. They're nearing the end of their lives. What's next?
Exactly. That's good. Let's talk a little bit more about impact. What are a couple stories that come to mind of just things you've seen, whether posted on the page or just personal ways that prayer really has infused hope into someone's life, and then obviously walking the halls of the hospitals?
Yeah, it's an encouragement to me every day to see how many people like a post. Hmm. You know, I'll say something like...
Which means that they read the post.
Yeah,
so that's good.
They read it. Yeah, not only read it, but felt convicted enough to at least hit like. And so it's cool to see hundreds, upwards to about 700 people liking a particular post. It's like, wow, that's encouraging. And then comments, you know, 40, 50 comments of people. The most common comment is amen. You know, they just want to... they want to say it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they say it with a like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they write it out. And other times, like I said, they make a comment like, this hit me right where I'm at. But I also appreciate that this is a place that the community, you know, this is an extended prayer meeting, I think of. Isn't it cool that about 20,000 people are showing up to a prayer meeting? Mm-hmm. You know, not all are paying attention, you know, but some really are, and some are expressing their own prayers of what's going on in their life. I have a way to pray, encouraging people to pray every day on Mondays. You know, I say, pray for your family. Tuesday, pray for God's family. And Wednesday, pray for the people you bump into in your community and so forth. So there's a way to pray every day. And oftentimes, I'll get comments based on that I'm praying for. And then they list their family members by name. Mm-hmm. And will you pray with me? And it's great to see the community come in. And I don't know where these people are from, but they're... God's doing something here, and they're chiming in. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Yeah, I had a couple comments the other day. One from South Africa, another from Kenya. Mm-hmm. You know, folks are it's boundless. I mean, mm-hmm. beyond the borders, God's mm-hmm. Just involving a group of people and praying. And, you know, sometimes you get some really, really difficult heartrending needs that are put on there. And it's, once again, great that the community comes around and prays for folks. And I pray as much as I can. I've got some other folks with a website like this. It's great to, you know, see if you might get some other folks to be an admin to kind of monitor mm-hmm. what's being said, because mm-hmm. you can't really watch it 24/7, you know. And so I have some folks helping me out there too, and they're chiming in with some prayers. And that's even some cool stories of how they got involved as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. Amy, you talked about Betty. Mm-hmm. What's another encounter that really impacted you?
Well, there's a couple of just quick ones. One was a little boy who had cancer, and he had just had a series of operations. He probably was 8, and he hadn't gotten out of bed for 3 days, and the doctors, physical therapist, tried everything. Well, Rex came in, his whole family was there, got in bed with him, laid down, he got to hug him, pet him, blah, blah, blah. And then I said to him, would you like to walk, Rex? Hmm. And he's leapt out of bed, and his mom was in the hallway. We were walking down the hallway.
Picked up his mat.
seriously. And his mom started crying. It was just a very poignant experience. A few weeks ago, at hospice, you can be more hands-on. A few weeks ago, a woman she must have been 80 pounds. She really looked like she was close to death. And she was moaning and crying, and I was able with the caretaker to hold her and to rub her back and to pray over her and to read her Psalms. And, you know, she died within the hour. It was really powerful. We also put Rex next to her, and she was just able to feel that fur next to her body, which was a comforting thing. Cool. And then just lastly, people who have really fallen away from the faith, like years ago, there was a woman named Michelle who was a drug addict who had cancer in her spine. Yeah. She had a daughter and a son who were both in prison. She had been an addict her whole life. And when I broached the subject of faith, she immediately started crying and said, God could never love me. My whole life has been a mess. I'm not worth it. And, you know, I was just able to completely turn around the situation by sharing the gospel and by sharing that, you know, she was Jesus's beloved daughter. Mm. And that he hadn't forgotten her, that he had been with her all these years.
Well, it's really fantastic to hear these stories. And I know that there are lots of our listeners out there who are probably just starting. They're probably online. Hopefully they're liking your page, Dean, which I want to say again is Pray Every Day.
Yeah, so folks and can actually check that out. It's facebook.com/prayerjournal.
Prayer Journal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could do, I tried searching both ways, so you can find it both ways, but /prayerjournal. So check that out. And then probably some are online, like Googling, trying to figure out how they can get their dogs. Right. Trained as well, Amy, or just, I mean, just finding a passion for what they get excited about, what, like I said, what talent they have, how they can go about serving. And so we want to encourage them in that. And maybe y'all, we're going to blog about this, and maybe you can hop on the blog and give a couple practical ideas of just how to get started in the particular areas that you guys have, or just, you know, someone to turn a vision, or as Bill Hybel says, a holy discontent into action. So we want people to get excited about that. So.
The other thing too is, you know, I went through Therapy Dogs Incorporated with Rex and got his Canine Good Citizen Award. You don't have to have a dog to be able to volunteer, particularly with hospice. You know, it's a week-long training. You learn about the dying process. It's amazing. But, you know, I just joined a group called Friends in Faith there and went through a training where you're matched up with another Christian. It could be any kind of person. But basically, you go in and you're like an assistant chaplain and you have faith conversations with them. Hospice has 1,000,010 ways to volunteer, and you don't just have to have a dog to do it, but we definitely need more Christians. It's tough, it's heavy, it sticks to your bones, but it does definitely draws you closer to the Lord through it.
Awesome.
So. And if I could add a thought, you know, Amy and I have been doing this for a year. How about you invite us back in a year and tell stories of maybe some listeners have started their own ministries. It'd be fun to just check in a year from now. And it's my hope that as a result of this podcast, some folks will say, you know, identify my passion and act on it, you know, pray about it and see what God does.
Right. I hope they get fired up.
Yeah.
So, all right, y'all, weigh in on the blog. Tell us what you think, and we'll go from there. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And to
Thank
Rex.
You.
Oh.